But first, we here at Beta hope that you're well and staying safe during this unprecedented time. I've been seeing lists of pandemic novels to read during this coronavirus pandemic. One novel that keeps popping up is Chuck Wendig's Wanderers. That's because the dystopian tale about a plague of sleepwalkers bears some strange synchronicities with our current situation, as you'll soon discover in our conversation. But first, here's Chuck reading an excerpt from Wanderers.
It was then she saw the girl's eyes. They were open. Her sister's gaze stood fixed at nothing, like she was looking through Shayna or staring around her. Dead eyes, dead like the flat tops of fat nails. Gone was the luster of wonder, that spark. Barefoot, Nessie continued on. Shayna didn't know what to do. Move out of her way, stand planted like a telephone pole. Her indecision forced her to do a little of both. She shifted left just a little, but still in her sister's inevitable path. The girl's shoulder clipped her hard. Shayna staggered left, taking the hit. The laugh that came up out of her was one of surprise, was a pissed-off laugh, a bark of incredulity. "That hurt, dummy," she said, and then grabbed for the girl's shoulder and shook her. Nothing. Nessie just pulled away and kept going. Nessie. Nessie.
Can you give us a brief outline of what happens in Wanderers without revealing any spoilers?
That's tricky. It starts off with a Nessie sleepwalking down the road, and one by one, other sleepwalkers come out of their house and join her. And they begin to form a flock of people, and the story is ultimately about who these people are who protect the flock, the quote-unquote shepherds, about what the sleepwalker's purpose is. It itself is sort of viewed as a kind of pandemic, but then a different pandemic rises in the book, a pandemic called White Mask. And it's all about how the sleepwalker flock entangles with that and how they affect it and what it means. It's about America and how, it's sort of a pre or peri-apocalyptic story.
It sounds somewhat like the coronavirus pandemic, but the hardcover version of your book actually came out last summer, last July. Did you ever think that this story, while you were writing it, did you ever think it could possibly predict this kind of pandemic?
Not maybe to the exact beats we're experiencing right now, but I mean, you know, a pandemic is not, we act like it's an unusual thing. A pandemic level disease, or at least a capable pandemic disease, usually pops up once a decade or so. Usually they're just something we either get ahead of or that turn out to be not quite as bad as we worried they could be. But, you know, between the flu of 1918 or SARS and MERS and swine flu, and I mean, you know, we see this a lot. This one just happens to have gotten its teeth in for a variety of perfect storm type reasons.
Mm-hmm. When did you first realize that your sprawling story, the story that came out of your brain, was kind of a real thing that is now actually happening?
There were a few moments, like with the obviously the origin point in bats, which is a thing in the book. And, we have things like rise of white supremacy and militias who are sort of seizing on opportunities. So that's been a troubling bookmark. But there were a few pieces that were definitely more concerning in how they mirrored book to reality. The first was that in the book, there's an artificial intelligence called Black Swan that predicts the coming of the pandemic before humans see it. And in our reality, I read an article that was about how there was an algorithm called Blue Dot that had predicted it, which seemed a little on the nose for, between Black Swan and Blue Dot. And then there was the book also opens with a comet, a sort of fortuitous, theoretically prophetic comet. And in the reality now, there's a comet called Comet Swan, which is appearing. And so I was just like, oh, with Black Swan and Blue Dot and Comet Swan, it's a little much.
In Wanderers, you explore the spread of this epidemic and the frightening ways in which America's social fabric unravels under that strain, as you mentioned just a moment ago. Which do you think is scarier?
The social unraveling is scary because a pandemic is neutral. You know what I mean? A disease mm-hmm. is not something that doesn't hate us. It just does what it does. But, you know, other people, when things like the norms and the sort of social contract begins to break down, that's a scarier point. And I will note that I don't think that's really happened in reality. It does certainly kind of happen in the book.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You also look at the similarities between how information and disinformation go viral and the way that the disease in your book goes viral. How do you think those similarities influenced the way you wrote the book?
The book really tries to handle, or at least portray, social media, for one thing, and how information goes, as you say, viral. I think both of those things are real, both real in the book and real in reality in terms of that breaking of the social contract we were just talking about. That's a thing that happens often because of mis and disinformation that spread easily, almost in the same kind of vector in the way that disease does, a certain level of proximity. Social media puts it in front of us more easily, just as the coronavirus will seize on our opportunities or seize on the opportunity if we're all together in a closed space. And the internet effectively makes us all in a closed space. And so, especially with certain kinds of echo chambers, and if you join a certain Facebook group and it's geared toward a certain way, it gets easier if bad or mis or disinformation gets in that, it can go around much quicker and root itself more easily.
Your novel's been compared to Stephen King's The Stand, which was originally published in 1978, and you even admit that The Stand is an influence in your book. Why, yes. Why did you want to be so upfront about King's influence on your book?
First of all, to not acknowledge that would be a huge lie. I mean, I read The Stand very early, and it's one of those things that dug its heels in, and so I have it with me. It's hard not, I mean, I would have to willfully write in opposition to it. And that doesn't feel true to what I was trying to do. So I figured it's better to acknowledge it. And also in terms of the book's world, I didn't want it to be like, you know, The Walking Dead, where they pretend like zombies are a new thing they've never heard of before. Like it's the Stand exists in the world of the Wanderers. And it's a book that the characters are aware of. So in fact, Stephen King, there's a lot of little homages to King that are peppered throughout. And I don't feel any need to hide that, even though while there are some similarities, obviously this is a very different book in that it's more science fiction and not really supernatural in any way. I definitely wanted to wear those comparisons on my sleeve. I think it's a thing I'm happy about.
Stephen King says he's still apologizing all these years later when people wearing masks come up to him and say they feel like they're living in a Stephen King story. So I'm curious, do people ever come up to you and tell you they feel like they're living in a Chuck Wendig novel?
I get emails and tweets and comments every day about how this is some Wanderers level business. A new piece of news will drop and people will quote tweet me or tweet at me about it. Like, this is, hey, look at this. This is from a book we all know. It's like, oh, oops.
Yeah. Yeah. At one point in your book, one of your main characters, Dr. Benjamin Ray, has this epiphany. He realizes that humankind is a disease. The earth is the body and climate change is the fever. And then he thinks that the solution is to kill the parasite and save the host. Do you think that these thoughts have any implications for what the world is going through with the coronavirus epidemic right now?
Well, in terms of whether or not that's really what the coronavirus's function is, no. I mean, I don't imagine that there's any particular intelligence at work, whether it's divine or some sort of massive science intelligence, the Gaia effect or something. But it's certainly an ethos that he considers from a sort of an abstract standpoint. And I think it's at least worth thinking about how what's going on right now is impacting our environment and in some cases making it healthier, but while also maybe setting some of the climate change fight back because of various resource deferments. And if we have economic downturn, then that'll make it harder to maybe prep for coming climate change. So it's definitely one of those things where they're entangled together. And, you know, if they're talking about a supercharged hurricane season, what that will mean for the people who are, you know, sheltering in place or coronavirus, quarantine and lockdown.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier one of the differences between your book, Wanderers, and Stephen King's The Stand is that yours has a lot more science in it. And I was really impressed the way you grounded it in science. You must have had to do a lot of research.
I am a really lazy writer. So part of it is that I mean, I did obviously do research for this, but a lot of it is research that I was doing before I ever wrote or even had the idea for the book. I'm lazy in the sense that the books I write tend to make use of the stuff that I'm interested in, the stuff that I've read about or that has triggered a response inside me. It's not necessarily, I mean, it's all chicken and egg stuff, right? But the book kind of comes out of all of these anxieties I have and all of these things I've read about and all of these books that I've already investigated and people I'm friends with who I've talked to. So the research was mostly building on a foundation of what I had already been looking at in terms of epidemiology and climate change and artificial intelligence. You know, these are sort of interests of mine that dovetail together into this big crazy Voltron of a book.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about that, a follow-up question about that. So you were researching this stuff anyway, epidemiology and all these other topics you were interested in, before you had the idea for Wanderers. Was there sort of a tipping point? Can you point to an aha moment kind of thing where you came up with the idea for Wanderers based on all this research you'd been doing?
Yeah, the core idea of Wanderers, which is to say the sleepwalkers walking, was something that was with me for years. You know, I kind of devote my ideas to what I call my idea thunderdome inside my brain. Like, I just let them fight it out. I don't write them down anymore. I don't assume that any idea is particularly of value. But if an idea stays with me and it's persistent and wants to bug me and demand to be written, then usually I'll come back to it. So this is one that stayed with me, but I had no story. I had no characters for it. I had no real narrative for it. And that's the meat of why we come to books. It's not for the hook maybe gets us on page one and that's what gets us reading, but we stay for the characters and for the themes and for everything that's sort of tangled in there. And so for me, it was really the buildup to 2016 that coalesced into what I wanted to do with this book. It was all of the political stuff, all of the climate change, the sort of this host of coming trouble coalesced and contextualized. Again, I guess you could say forming that Voltron inside my brain. And then I had a book. Just it made sense to me all of a sudden.
You have this quote from a fictional science writer named Afzad Kerman in your book, and I'd like you to read the first sentence from it. The idea is that this is a quote from a TED Talk he gave, and the first sentence really resonated with me, if you wouldn't mind reading it.
Sure. So science writer Afzad Kerman in his TED Talk, Chaos and Crisis, The Accidental Ingenuity of the Almost Apocalypse, says, "Here's how we do things in America. We identify a problem, then we promptly ignore it, until it's not just biting our ass, but it's already eaten the right cheek and has started on the left."
Yeah, that really resonates with what we've been going through. A lot of people right now seem to be reading novels about pandemics during this pandemic. Why do you think that's the case?
I don't know. Honestly, I assume that there is some level of contextualization that they're seeking. You know, when I was in the 90s and we were, you know, still kind of in the midst of the 80s and 90s, I should say, we're still in the midst of a nuclear panic. I read Robert McCammon's Swan Song, which is a horror epic horror novel about, you know, a nuclear winter. And I read it almost because I was scared of it. And then I don't know exactly what that does for you, except that it gives you a level of control over it and context. And also, obviously, the book is portraying the worst possible version. So there's that. But also with a book like Wanderers, as much as what's happening in the book is horrific and definitely worse than what we're enduring now, at the same time, I also think it's full of, I try to make it full of hope and humor and heart and give it a sense of it's not just a nihilistic march to the end. There's a story in there. And so it gives us almost like a vacation from the current reality into something adjacent but different.
Chuck Wendig, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chuck Wendig is a novelist, comic book writer, and screenwriter. His latest book is called Wanderers. Find out more about Chuck at wpr.org/beta.
They're just blindsided by everything. And we purposely try not to book guests that would watch Adult Swim or watch the show. We try to book guests out of the world of that kind of comedy. We don't book comedians.
Comedian Eric Andre talks about his surreal talk show parody and his debut Netflix stand-up special, Legalize Everything. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.